You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogma.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high score, is that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What is up? What is happening? This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am The Welsh, who you can find on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. My co-host Scott Bogman is here in just a few minutes. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Got a great show for you today as you're tuning in to the FNTSY version of In This League, where you can also find our podcast versions of all of our shows. We've got basketball, football, baseball, prospect baseball. We've got NFL draft, hockey. It's all over at InThisLeague.com. So just go over there, check out what we got going on. You can find out about our insider program where you can have contact with Bogman and I all the time. You can check out our shirts. We got all our crazy shirts. Our Pitch Me Outside, How Bat Dat.
Boo this man!
I know. Every time I say it, I feel bad. But you can find all of that stuff at InThisLeague.com. The show today that we have for you is good. It is good. Not that I would tell you if it was bad. Anyways, Paul Spohr from Fangraphs is going to be joining us here in just a minute. I'm going to get him on the guest line here. And the whole hour, we're going to be talking about week one opening. We're going to be talking about opening night. We're going to talk about some moves you can make early in the week. And we're going to talk about baseball's week one. What more could you ask for? In hour two, Scott and I, we're going to review some of our in-season predictions as far as, AL, NL winners, World Series, MVP, Cy Youngs, and we're also going to play this game we love to play called Fantasy Chicken.
Wow, winning.
That's what we love to play, where we're going to take a topic, we're going to set an opening bid, and we're going to keep going until somebody gives up. And that's a fun game to play, and we got tons of categories at every position, so you're not going to want to miss it. That's coming up in the second hour, so don't go anywhere this entire... So you're not going to want to miss a minute of the action. But let's not wait any further. Let's get to the guest line right now with Paul Spohr.
His next guest.
ITL.
And here we go.
Paul Spohr on Twitter at Spohr. You can find him on Fangraphs, ESPN. There's apparently some Grindr apps out there. Maybe they're Roto. Maybe they're not. He is not afraid to get it in or talk about gaping holes. He throws fingers up to the rules and will drop all his money on three players in an auction. He's a bad boy for life. He is Paul Spohr, and he's one of our favorites. Paul, what's up, brother?
Not much, gentlemen. I act like a tough guy in front of everybody at Tout Wars, and then I get in my home league and I cower like a little punk-ass bitch.
You can also find Paul Spohr on his great podcast, The Sleeper and the Bust. Colette's on there. Eno's on there. It's the best. I mean, we strive to be that, but we're not intelligent. So we will just be the
others. Funny.
Yeah, we'll just be like the fun friend. We're the fun friend that everyone wants around, but then the chicks are like, oh, he's a great friend. And we're like, oh. And then we drink ourselves until we die at 45. That's the best way to explain In This League. I'm just saying, that's how you explain In This League, Paul. That's how we explain it.
You just wrote my biography.
Yeah, but you can find him on Twitter at Spohr. And you know what? You are one of our greatest supporters. You know, the pinnacle of, you're like, I don't want to get off track, but Paul, you kind of been like a little rock star this year. And I'm not saying little to minimize it or anything like that. But like, you're on FNTSY. You got the helmet on. Everyone's just like oohing and eyeing over you. You're Mr. Lip Balm. You got your freaking Red Bull army that's covering your screen. You're kind of a rock star that everybody wants around.
Mr. Lip Balm is Spohr's like DC character, his Marvel character.
That should be your handle on the show. It should be on
the show. I was actually about to say, you know, my PSN, PlayStation Network ID is very boring. I'm never good at coming up with names like that, so I always end up being an initial, or like my Twitch handle's PSpohr24. Mr. Lip Balm is amazing. Now the problem is I'm already kind of like ingrained in the Twitch community as PSpohr24, so I can't really change to Mr. Lip Balm. But that's amazing. Yeah. I kind of want to anyway.
Well, I mean, it's there for you. It's there for you. You know where it came from. You know where your roots are. All right, so let's get into this opening day. It's kind of tough. We're in this weird space of, you know, we haven't had a full week of fantasy baseball through. We're just finishing up our last drafts. We did have a pretty awesome awesome first day of baseball, the first three games. Bogman was out at the Arizona game, but I want to focus here for a minute on the very, very first game, the Yankee and the Rays game. And coming out of that game, Spore, I'm curious at what you think about this. What is the more important thing that we saw? Greg Bird hitting three or Tanaka taking it on the chin like WWE's Paige?
This ectoplasm!
Oh, snap!
Did you see the ghost?
If you know what I mean.
I mean, I can fill in the pieces. I don't follow WWE, but I get it.
Yeah, you don't need to follow WWE to know what I'm talking about, but you know what I mean. Taking Tanaka. It on the chin, Tanaka or Greg Bird?
It's got to be Tanaka, a.k.a. my AL Cy Young pick, Sweet Life Spore, a.k.a. my number two starter behind Kershaw in the NFBC main event. Life Sporer. However, they have an amazing quirk that I learned from my partner on the team. That today's actually free. It's like a free day. So say you had Scrub X, whomever that may be. Like Chase Headley. Say you have Chase Headley on your bench, and you know, just because it's a deep 15 team league, you figure I'll get Chase Headley, and you got an injured third baseman that you didn't really know what you were gonna do. You're gonna put in a waiver claim for him. You see Chase Headley went 3-for-4, you can now put him in. And conversely, if you have Masahiro Tanaka, you can take him out. Now, I'm not going to get a start in Baltimore, but who the hell wants a start in Baltimore for somebody who just got their face caved in? So you actually get a little reprieve here. It's a little free money there. So I won't take that Tanaka start, which is pretty great. But yeah, I think that's it. Listen, he lost his command for sure, and he was hanging splitters. That's always been a problem, is that when that splitter hangs, it's problematic. That's why he gives up home runs. And the damage was just there with a lot of other pitches today. I'm obviously not freaking out. I'm not going to change my pick either. That would be a total punk move, but it is alarming, right? You gotta have a little bit of alarm if you're the Yankees, who are expecting not major things. I don't think they're saying, oh, we need to make the playoffs this year. Outwardly, they're probably saying it, but inwardly, they understand that this is kind of a transition year, and then next year is really, really going to be big time, and they're about to be another evil empire. I think for those of you that hate the Yankees, like myself, get ready, because it's about to get
when
shitty
Clint
again.
Frazier and Torres come up, it's just going to be unfathomable for most
Sanchez.
People. Totally.
Yeah.
So let me ask you then I want to focus on Tanaka there for a second, because like we talked about this in the open, the tropes of the first week of baseball is like, you know, hey, he's on pace. You know, pace is like the key word that I just want to vomit on. But the other one is like one
especially
bad,
based on one game.
And then the one game is the bad performance. I've already fielded on Sunday. I fielded multiple Tanaka questions where people were wanting to get out. So knowing what you know, not being a crazy person, you're not going to overreact and go nuts. But is there a part of you that thinks moving forward, what if you could get dollar for dollar on Tanaka right now? Like whoever the next pitcher below Tanaka is on your rankings, would you be doing that? Or is this just a kick in the bucket on the first week? Are you adjusting any type of ranks to Tanaka?
No, I really don't think I am. I would have to watch. So we were doing that auction, so I didn't have a great line on it. I have to rewatch it tonight when it's archived, and I'm done watching the Cubs Cardinals. And I probably will go back, and then maybe I'll have a better answer if you want to follow up with me on Twitter. I really don't think I'm going to after one start, though. The only thing that would make me want to do that is if we learned that he was ailing, you know, if we learned that it was pain or something that was keeping him from commanding his pitches. But then in that point, at that case, you're not going to get dollar to dollar. You know, if it comes out on RotoWire, they say, oh, you know, he was dealing with a bit of a bulky elbow, was barking during that game, and that's why he couldn't command the splitter, blah, blah, blah. Then you're going to go make a trade and say, hey, let me get Aaron Sanchez. I'm going to say, hey, GFY, I'm not going to do that. So no, I think you just got to take it. You can't overreact, man. I saw somebody asking, who's the setup man in San Francisco?
Yeah,
relax,
I saw that. Yeah. Should I go pick up Hunter Strickland right now? Like,
Melanson's
going to be okay.
Fernando Rodney was a whole lot better than Melanson today either. So.
Yeah. I mean, now that one, maybe, right? Because it's all
well,
about what's
already
stable.
Him,
but so. You look at the big deal that Melanson got in the track record that he has, the obscene track record that he has. And no, you're not allowing one game to say, now I'm going to go get Hunter Strickland. That's honestly, even if I owned Mark Melanson, I would not get Hunter Strickland. Even if I had a free spot, even with a free spot, I would not necessarily get Strickland. I do not think that it's a worry, and it's going to be something that is challenging in the first couple weeks of the season not to overreact. Now, we are in an environment where you have to react quicker,
Agreed.
We'll freely admit that. We are now in a league where it's buy now, ask questions later. You cannot wait for a small sample size. But this is more with the waiver wire in buying guys who are performing well. I do still think that you should want to have patience with your higher picks. I do not think the same thing applies where you just cut guys willy-nilly. And, you know, even if you're in a 10-team league, which is a little bit shallower with a deep wire, if you're cutting Tanaka, you're doing it wrong. I really believe that. And even if Tanaka ended up having a bad season and you cut him, that's still bad process, good outcome.
Yeah. Well, that's
horrible.
And I'm
still always focused on the process. And if you're cutting him or even really sharply reacting to Tanaka, you're just doing it wrong. It was a really, really bad start. But, I mean, there's really not much else I can say about it except keep an eye on him. And then if you see three or four where it's like really wonky and, you know, four innings, five runs, and then maybe he mixes in a 6-2, so that looks pretty good, but then another one, so three of the first four are bad and it's really bad command, then you can start to worry, because it would be a consistent issue of command and he does have the UCL tear, and maybe we would start to say, okay, maybe this is worse, maybe the UCL tear has gotten worse. But after one start, yeah, you better believe I'm not making a single move on Tanaka. If you want to trade him to me, go ahead.
That's a good point. In basketball, Bogman knows, we did this thing. Remember, I did my whole trade algorithm where it was like, I'll anoint, 2 weeks of a pass if they were, you know, a first rounder or whatever it was, and
right,
I'd do all
right.
that. I probably should revisit that because I'm in agreement. The overreaction of your studs is a problem. Now, we're going to get off this here in a second. I swear to God, I'll let Bogman have some mic time here. But I just want to poke the bear a little
suck
bit because
it,
suck it. I'm not advocating for trading Tanaka. I've actually always been a little bit of a Tanaka apologist, though he's kind of bumped up a little bit this year. But I'm looking at your starting pitcher rankings, and though I have this player above Tanaka, someone comes a knocking with, I think enough people that listen and know me will associate this player with me. Even, you know, Spore's like, yep, he's like, you're gonna have to pay up for Carmart hitting 100. Someone comes knocking on your door offering you Carmart for Tanaka. You doing it?
Yeah, because I mean, I put Kershaw down as my NL Cy Young because I'm not stupid,
yeah.
And I'm not a tryhard.
You're not Bogman and I who put Madison Bumgarner.
Listen, here's the thing. I was a little harsh on that, not just because of you guys, but like I get why people want to do that. I have that inclination too, right? You know, you don't want to pick LeBron every year for MVP when you're writing a column or whatever because like no. That he's probably going to get it. And same with Trout at AL MVP. But sometimes I just want to be right, and so I take the easy way out.
Hey, real quick, I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to add something that you're absolutely right, because Kershaw and I did have our little side session, and I helped him with the cutter. I mean, there's a picture proof of it. So I think you're right.
Smash it in there somehow, Paul.
I think Paul's right. Paul's right. Me and Kershaw got some time together.
You want Paul to come back on? You should not be doing this.
This is a gimme Cy Young. Paul is right. Advocating my work with Kershaw did it. So please go on. Let's talk more about me. But go on.
All right, Serge, relax. But yeah, I would have had Carmart very high. I might have gone Thor too. I can't really say right. I don't know for sure because I didn't even give it a second thought on the second and third because I just went Kershaw very easily when I was putting in my Fangraphs picks. But I know Carmart would have been very high and probably in that top three with Noah Syndergaard. So then you're talking about another guy who I think is going to have an award-winning season just like Tanaka. So I got two guys who I think can win the biggest award for pitching. Am I going to take the guy who is in the easier league looking a little bit better over my other guy who, you know, I like in the American League, and I still like him, but they're one rank apart, so I'm basically even up with them. Yeah, I probably would at that point. You know, that's okay. But and even the guy that he faced, Archer, who I have one rank ahead, I probably would take him. But then anything else that's
below Duffy?
Duffy, no, because I actually I'm going to update my rankings tomorrow or this week. I don't want to commit to tomorrow because I got a couple other things coming out. But this week, and Duffy's going to move down just a little bit. Nothing crazy, just a few ticks in reaction to the fact that his velocity was a little bit lower, and it's just a little bit of tempering of my own excitement because I was easily the high man at Fangraphs, and I do still like him, but I have to acknowledge when you go down from 96 to 93 that it matters. So that's no on him or really anybody else below Carrasco, Cole, Maeda. No. Carlos Martinez is below Tanaka right now, and he's the only one that I would take that's below him, and then obviously everyone above. In fact, not even everyone above. I would not take Arrieta for Tanaka. I'm standing firm on that.
Ooh,
Tanaka, Archer, and Martinez will all move ahead of Arrieta. Arrieta.
So if somebody offered you Arrieta right now for Tanaka, you would say decline?
No, thank you. I appreciate the offer. That's a very fair offer. Mrs. Tanaka, that's very cool of you. I can't believe we're in a league together. But no, thank you, because nobody else is doing that.
That answers the question. Beautiful.
I want to know about Kyle Schwarber. He had a lot of success leading off in the spring. As we're recording this, he's 2-for-2 tonight. No, he's been playing really well at that leadoff spot. I was originally annoyed when I saw him leading off. I was like, ugh. Because I don't know. It's just big old power hitters like that, like Carlos Santana leading off too, kind of annoys me. Like, I just feel like these guys should be hitting 4, 5, 6 somewhere in there to get a lot of RBIs.
Don't you want them to have the most at-bats, though?
Yeah, I like the at-bats too. I just think that, like, I don't know. I just think that Kyle Schwarber could be something amazing. But do you think that him hitting at leadoff is going to push him out of that tropey saying of he's Jay Bruce at catcher, everybody? Totally. He's not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. My comparison a lot has been like, what's really the difference between he and Miguel Sano right now, which I don't even necessarily feel is like a negative. You know, Jose Bautista, in fact, in my Fangraphs profile of him, I invoked the names of Kairys Davis, Jose Bautista, and Miguel Sano, and he just drafted much higher than them, and I don't see why necessarily. Like,
it's because he qualifies a catcher.
I actually made that. I said that, I made that caveat. I said in a league where he doesn't qualify as catcher.
Yeah,
I specifically cited Yahoo.
Yeah, that's important, because when he's in the outfield, story. I get it. But I mean, does the leadoff change anything? Because I get what you're saying.
It helps.
I
actually like it. I think it's sharp. I like the sabermetric move of it. I wouldn't even be averse. You know, I'm not saying they necessarily should do. I wouldn't be averse to Cincinnati leading off Votto. I really want it. Mm-hmm. Give me more at bats for my best players, and they feel that he's one of their best players. Now, he's not their best. Schwarber isn't, but his batting average deficiency is less important at the top of the lineup than it would be, and his strikeout capability than it would be in the middle of the lineup. So I actually really like it for a lot of different reasons. The guy who will take a walk, he had 13% walk rate in that 2015 season, and we don't have a lot to go off of for him, but I do believe that he's a double digit walk rate sort of guy. And so you're going to get a guy who's going to probably take a 7-pitch at bat to start the game. You love that. Some of these, you know, quote unquote prototypical leadoff hitters who are speed slappy types, sometimes they're swinging at the second pitch because that's the pitch that they wanted. And like, you get it. Okay. They wanted to get that hit, but you're kind of up there to really kind of see what the pitcher has that day. Let him go through his pitches. I think Schwarber's going to really do that. The lineup behind him is devastating, so the runs are going to be there. Maybe you are sacrificing some RBIs for sure because it is leadoff. But this is also not a prototypical lineup either, so you can't just look at leadoff RBIs and say this is what he's going to get.
Right.
You take leadoff RBIs plus X percentage amount because the lineup is going to continue to turn over. And I really like it. I mean, Javier Baez, y'all's boy, mm-hmm. is batting last, and that, I mean, that's pretty devastating to have him there. So when this lineup gets cooking, I think the RBI opportunities will be there. And so even though I'm a bit noted of a Schwarber downer, just because I think he should be more in the class of guys that he's with when he's not catcher eligible, I still completely acknowledge how good he is. I'm not saying he's bad by any stretch.
How many games does he catch this year, Paul?
24.
24. All right.
You really think so? That's not starting, though.
In a lot of years, or in a lot of leagues, because he won't get it till the end of the year, because aren't most leagues 20 games?
No, in season it's usually 5 to 10. So he should actually get it. I think he'll end up getting it in a lot of leagues, and that bumps up his draft value. And if I thought that, you know, now that I'm thinking about that, I did feel that way going
in. You get
it
if you have catcher gear. If you have catcher gear, you get catcher eligibility.
If you have a glove, you get catcher eligibility. So,
if you've ever seen a catcher, if you've ever befriended one, you know, if you're friends with catcher on the team, then you're good to go.
Paul Thor has catcher eligibility.
Yeah, for sure. You can put that on your show. Yeah. Quick question. Who benefits more from their time spent with me in spring training? Kyle Schwarber or Clayton Kershaw? Both who spent time with me. This is a legitimate question. Who benefits more, Schwarber?
Well, I imagine that Schwarber's going to be hitting cutters better because he had to face yours and he got a few hits off of that. So facing the major league cutters is going to be cake. I mean, he's going to be like, what are these cutters? I face the Welsh's cutter. I'm all set. So that will help him. Depends. You know, I think teams are going to go away from the cutter on him. They're not going to want to throw it because of how devastating he will be against it.
Yeah.
But there will be some guys who just challenge him, say, listen, my cutter's not as good as the Welsh's, but I am going to challenge you. And it's going to be a few extra bombs because of it. So I think he might actually benefit even more than Kershaw, who you taught said cutter to.
You know how I shut up during that whole thing just so I could pull that clip without me interrupting it? That's a great, great clip. I'm going to put that all over the internet. Real question, though. Real question. Is Schwarber the best leadoff hitter in baseball? Fantasy-wise.
I'm really bad at these things off the top of my head because I can't think of every
Ian
other
Kinsler, I think,
hitter.
Leads off.
That's weird. That was the first one I thought of, too. Actually, it's not weird because I'm a Tigers fan.
Yeah, you're
but,
Tigers. Dexter Fowler. Dexter Fowler. Trey Turner will lead off.
Trey Turner is the best fantasy one because of what his complete game there. Honestly, the one that Bogman mentioned, Carlos Santana, tell me how...
How about A.J. Pollock?
I mean, if he's healthy, he's absolutely...
Ooh, I like where you're going with this. Santana. Absolutely. Okay, go with Santana.
Tell me how Carlos Santana is any worse than Kyle Schwarber. And again, this is not to shade Schwarber.
It's a great point.
This is to promote Santana more than anything else and to just have a reality check on where Schwarber is. Like, what is his batting average going to be? And I don't know what I'm asking. It's not like you guys are saying he's going to be
1,000 right now.
It's 1,000. Pretty much probably going to hit 1,000 the whole year. But, you know, last year, 34-87, 259. That's homers, ribs, and average, and 89 runs for Carlos Santana. Tell me how Schwarber's going to be better.
You know, honestly, I think you're bringing up a great point in that it almost kind of speaks to like what a value Carlos Santana was. OBP, it's you know, totally unspoken for how high
exactly.
He goes. But you look at a guy like Kyle Schwarber and I think the average, I don't know. Like, I think I might be an optimist on Kyle Schwarber. I kind of think this is a guy that could hit in the 280 range. I really think. But that's it.
He smacks the ball.
Yeah, but that's it after Carlos Santana. It's a good point you're making.
Yeah, he smacks the ball. So I understand when you hit the ball as hard as Schwarber does, good things can happen. So the BABIP could certainly go up. 293 is not a bad one or anything, but I would not come away surprised if he had a 330. Even as a slow guy, the two things that are going to raise your BABIP, of course, are speed and just devastating the ball. You know, if you've seen Rhys Davis have some pretty big BABIPs, and it's just because he blasts the ball. And so if he's shooting them in the gap, then yeah, it can be higher, but I got to see it first. And I think right now people are paying for Schwarber to already do that. And we haven't seen it. And I do think he is more of a 255 to 265 guy. And until I see something different, I'm going to operate as that. So I've got him in that Sano, Santana, again, K-Riz Davis, Jose Bautista range, which I don't believe is a slight to him. But when you look at it against his draft stock, it looks like Paul hates him.
Well, okay. And the last thing with Schwarber here. You kind of started to, I see you have Sano above him, by the way, at 32. You started to talk yourself into Schwarber getting catcher eligibility across all leagues if you think he's going to have that much. So I ask you, Kyle Schwarber or Jackie Bradley Jr.? Who you have at 26?
And where did I put Schwarber?
33.
I think I might have to move him up because, yeah, I do believe he's going to get it. And 24 games, I would say that probably be before the halfway point of the season. And so if you get a half season of catcher, I think that's worth some extra juice there. I don't know exactly how to quantify that.
Yeah.
Those are things that we still don't exactly know how to put a dollar value on. Positional flexibility, I guess that falls out. Yeah,
it's
positional flexibility.
Bucks. It's our risk bucks again. So.
I mean, it's a big positive. So, yeah, I think I can move him up based on this conversation, but I'll probably move a couple of those other guys up too, not above him, but I will move Schwarber up a little bit, acknowledging that while I don't think his stat line will change, the fact that I do think he's going to get into catcher enough, plus he doesn't even need to get to the 24 that I said. A lot of leagues, like I said, are 5-10. Plenty of leagues play just one. That NL I just did, we only play one because I think in only leagues you should be a little bit more liberal. I had Will Myers. He played third base for some, I don't know how many innings or whatever. He played third base last year at some point. And yeah, it's a little, some can say it's a little hokey, but you're in an NL only 11 team. The waiver wire is utter dog shit. I think it's all right if you got a little extra flexibility. It's not like I got him at third base this year. You know, it's just right. In season. So I think NL leagues should be, or only leagues should be a little bit more liberal. But I know a lot are 5 and 10 games. So Schwarber doesn't even need to get as high as I'm saying. I think 5 games could be done by the end of May. So you got 4 months of catcher. Yeah, that's worth a 5 to 7 upgrade in the outfield.
And you talked about it. You said it earlier. You know, we don't want to overreact or hyperreact, but we also can't sit on our tails and wait too long because then it's going to pass us by. So maybe people want to take a look. If you're in a league where Schwarber doesn't qualify a catcher, hey, maybe you get him on the cheap. Maybe you could still possibly, you know, make that move. Maybe not after, you know, opening night performance, you know, like
cheaper than he would be if the person acknowledged that he was going to get catcher.
You
might be able to pay just fair market, like whatever he was drafted. Even if he was drafted higher than I was interested in, if you could trade like a Mark Trumbo, that's another guy who I think that they're, you know, they're a little bit comparable in terms of their devastating power capabilities. OBP definitely goes to Schwarber, but in a standard league, maybe something like that. Especially if Schwarber, if Trumbo has a bomb this week or something, has a big day in Camden during the week, and you say, you know what, I'm just looking to make a move here. Now, a 1-for-1 might be fishy to somebody, and so sure. You might have to do a little something else.
A little Brian McCann and Mark Trumbo for Schwarber type of thing.
Something like that, and then you get back a much worse player. You say, hey, you know, just throw me back a little something to fill in, fill in on that other side there. But
well, yeah, Yandy Diaz. I'm with you.
You just love that guy now. I wouldn't be against maybe trying to trade for Schwarber, especially in a 2-catcher league. On the idea that, you know what, he could get it in relatively short order, meaning like the first 2 months. That's the earliest I would put it right now until we actually see him get behind the dish.
All right, let's stop right there. We've got more with FanGraph's own Paul Spohr right here on In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. A couple minutes of some commercials and we'll be right back with you with more Paul Spohr.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We are back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh, joined by Paul Spohr. So let's get right back into it. Let's talk about some week one stuff here. This is what a lot is going to be on people's minds here. Who are a few post-draft moves you've been making? You know, leagues that you've had over the last couple days that have been ending, any that you're kind of eyeing right now. What are essentially what I'm asking is, what are some moves for people to look to make in week one? Relative, by the way. It's obviously relative.
I haven't really made any moves yet on my NFBC. They're going to process here in about 17 minutes, so I'm interested to see how that goes. Jason Grilley is obviously a big move right now. You want to go ahead and take a look at him. The injury to Roberto Osuna, a cervical spasm. That sounds pretty bad, but apparently he was already playing with it, so I don't know if it's the worst thing or not. So, you know, but you don't want to overreact. But at the same time, I don't think you have to go crazy for Grilley, but I would take a look at him. Grilley's good. I mean, Gurley's just been getting it done for years.
He's had
a few bumps here and there, and I think even maybe last year, the year before, he started off poorly. Yeah, it was last year. He started off poorly with the Braves, and then got back on track with said Blue Jays. And so I think he could do well in the job. I don't think there's really any scenario where he keeps it when Osuna gets back, but get some saves there. You know, I don't really like this guy, but yeah, I know he had a good day today. But Logan Morrison. Somebody you could take. It's not because he had a good day today. It's just because they're going to play him, and he's going to be on the strong side of the platoon. You can take a look at something like that. And Derek Dietrich's another one that I don't think, with Prado's injury, that he got as much love as he should have. I'm thinking deeper leagues, by the way. I play a lot of deeper leagues, so these names might not be applicable.
Like a lot of people do. Yeah, you're right.
To everybody. The one other one, Adam Frazier, had a huge spring. And the only reason I'm concerned with, I care about that so much, not that he hit 400 and he's going to hit 400 in the season. It's that it earned him a spot. And so that when you're a fringe guy and you have a big spring, it matters because you're going to get a spot. So he's got a spot with Jung Ho Gung being a piece of doesn't know how to call a fucking Uber, dude.
Uber. Have a friend.
Uber. Cab.
What happened to posses?
Ranger.
Get a posse.
A thousand different fucking ways. A thousand ways to
home.
Just get home, dude. And so stay the over there. Like, I honestly was really hyped on him, seemed like a cool dude and really good hitter. And now with this, I'm like, you know what? You deserve that. I'm sure
and
he'll find
he's gone.
Over here.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
They'll figure out a way to get him back. But like, until that happens, and if it happens, Adam Frazier is going to be someone who's going to get some at bats. And if he plays well, he could be somebody who eats into Freeze's playing time, who is slated to get a lot of that Jung Ho Gung playing time. So he's an interesting player, dynamic guy. I didn't really know a whole lot about him until this spring when I really started looking at him. So that's another guy that I'd definitely be looking at in your deeper leagues. And I think he might have some positional flexibility depending on your roster requirements. I think if it's the standard 20, you're only looking at outfield. But if you are a little bit more liberal and you're down in the 15 range, that adds second base. And if you're a five only sort of league, then you've got third added in. So Adam Frazier, 25-year-old for the Pirates, runs a little bit, has a little bit of punch, could be a nice addition.
How about some closers? Like we mentioned before, obviously you're not looking at Hunter Strickland. Mark Melanson has an amazing track record. But some of these crap guys like Fernando Rodney that don't have great track records, who are a couple of those guys you're kind of, you're keeping your finger right over the add button?
Speculating. Little speculation.
Even though I'm hyped on him, I'm not going to be foolish enough to say that Jim Johnson is 1,000,000,000% locked in. I just happen to feel good about him. But again, that doesn't mean I'm going to ignore the potential that he could not be where I think he's at. And so you're looking at Aroldis Vizcaino and then Mauricio Cabrera when he gets back. You really got to keep an eye on Wade Davis, man. That forearm is scary for sure. And so Carl Edwards Jr. is there. He's the fun one, but you also got to keep an eye on Koji Uehara, Pedro Strop, Hector Rondon. They got a lot of options. So it would be a tough one. We know that Joe Maddon would mix and match, but I would still take the shot on Edwards if I was going to do that. Don't sleep on Adam Ottavino. I like Greg Holland a lot. He's one of my favorite closers. When he was beasting, he's just such a stud. And part of the reason I love him is MLB The Show. His card is devastating in that game, and so I'm just a fan. So that's kind of like that kind of added to my like of him. So I hope he's healthy. I hope he's pumping 95 and beasting. But he is coming right back off of his Tommy John now. This is his first year. Adam Ottavino is a guy they love. They've paid him. I actually think he should have started with the job and then let Holland kind of ease in. But maybe they're saying, hey, maybe they're doing the sabermetric thing that we are seeing some teams do, where they want their best reliever available in the seventh and eighth. But if Holland fails, it's going to be Ottavino. And it could be quick, so that could be a short leash. I would say watch out for Brandon Kinsler, because I'm just not that enamored of his skills. But I don't want Ryan Pressly. You know, I don't really want anybody over there.
Just
so
pass on
it's just a full pass on the Twins. Totally agree there. Sean Doolittle is the one I'm eyeing in Oakland. He's done it. He's been a beast. So Ryan Madsen, you know, he's getting older for sure. Got to keep an eye on that. And then, Neftali Feliz had excellent strikeout rate, got his velocity back. I would not be surprised if he was able to hold it all year and be good, but also he could get traded too. So it could be a situation, since they are rebuilding in Milwaukee, where they say, you know what, we brought you in, we did sign you, but we're going to go ahead and trade you because you are, like, what if he kicks ass for 2 months? And then they say, you know what, we got to trade you, dude, because we can get a mint right now. And they're a very sabermetrically inclined team, so they would not hesitate to pull that trigger. And then Corey Knebel becomes an interesting piece there. I actually think Brandon Mauer is going to hold the job. I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for. The dude sits 95, 96, has some really good stuff.
We saw him live, and he was actually, it was a pretty impressive little outing he had. He throws that thing with some devastation, like you're saying.
Yeah, I thought he had a chance to be a starter when he was back in Seattle. Like, I really liked his talent. So the fact that he's succeeding in the bullpen does not surprise me. And I think he could be a beast. So I know folks are in on Carter Capps, and, you know, Capps is a monster, but he's also coming back from injury. So I monitor it, but I'm not holding my finger over the button just yet. I do think Mauer's going to get a chance to have some success there. And then we just don't know on Blake Treinen. I actually think that he's somebody who can handle it. Eno's been talking him up for a while, and the names that he's invoked are Sam Dyson and Zach Britton, because all three of them have amazing sinkers. Now, that's obviously a wide range there. Zach Britton, one of the best closers in the entire game. Sam Dyson, very, very solid closer, but not necessarily a super ace closer. So there's a lot of range that he could fit fit into, though. And of course, he could be worse than them. And then you are looking again at Coda Glover, who, you know, it seemed like he was going to get it until Dusty Baker trolled everybody. And then Sean Kelly is there lurking, but that home run issue, I never believed in Sean Kelly, but I did fall for the Coda Glover thing. So I would just keep an eye on that. And then Sam Dyson himself, again, I do like him. I do think Texas is kind of doing the sabermetric thing, though, where they like having Matt Bush in the seventh, eighth, because he is a lockdown, strikeout sort of guy. But you know, you got to be careful, just because Dyson, when you are a sinker baller like that and you don't get strikeouts, you're kind of at the mercy of your BABIP, and you can get unlucky. You can have bad defense. Their defense is actually all right. Alvis Andrus, Adrian Beltre, Rougned Odor, nothing to, what's the opposite of write home about? That's actually a positive. It's nothing to, wave your finger at. It's pretty solid defense. So I think they'll be all right in turning those sinker balls into outs. But just keep an eye, because I think Matt Bush, if he gets the job, dude's gotten his life back on track. Hey, there's a guy who learned to stop and driving, drinking and driving after making a you want to make a mistake like that? And I'm not even trying to be funny on this, because like, look at what he did. He almost threw everything away, almost killed somebody, ran over somebody's head, man. And I just get so mad at these dudes who got all this money, got all this setup, people dying to do whatever they can to help them, and they can't get a damn driver after they have a few pops. It's utterly ridiculous. So I actually applaud somebody like Matt Bush, who paid his debt to society for the effed up things that he did. He got his life back on track. Monster pitcher, though, too. So I think he could actually get the job there. I think I've covered most of the ones that are up in the air.
Well, quick follow-up, just quick one on this, because there are three guys that are kind of replacement closers right now. So I'm going to ask you, Pedrosian, Grilly, Addison Reed, who's the one guy that could take the job?
Bedrosian, because he deserves the job. Okay. Houston Street, man, come on.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
don't talk crap about Houston Street where you live, friend.
I understand.
Don't do that.
You can't mess with any of the streets here. They are royalty. I understand that. And listen, I remember him in the College World Series. Awesome. And great with Oakland, great with Colorado, and even pretty good at times with L.A. But the dude can't stay healthy, and I don't think he's great. Cam Bedrosian also has health issues, but he has devastating stuff. I thought the suspension was knocking things over. No, it was a chapstick, by the way.
Of course it was. How many chapsticks are in front of you right now besides the one you dropped?
Three, five, six, seven,
he's counting
eight.
All of them.
Oh my
eight.
God. Oh my God.
Eight on the desk.
That's more saves than Grilly's gonna have this year.
Five are unopened. I thought the suspension was going to be longer for Familia, but that's actually an interesting situation. You guys might want to do more research on that. I'm saying to the listener, when I hear domestic violence, I automatically go to F that guy forever.
Yep.
But some of the stuff I've read suggests that it wasn't as cut and dried as it may have sounded. And so, I think that's
why proven guilty, right? I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And I don't think he was, quite the garbage bag that we might have thought originally. If anyone has information to the contrary, I'm more than open to it. But the stuff that I've read seems to suggest that maybe he wasn't. And that's probably why he got a shorter suspension there, where you did still get arrested. There was still the cops out. We still got to do something here because something happened. But, it doesn't seem like it was the Jose Reyes thing, for example, or even the Aroldis Chapman thing where he's firing off his gun like an So it's going to be 15 games. Addison Reed is a beast, but they love Familia. So I think they're going to put him right back in the role, even though I do think Reed can handle it. And who was the other one? I talk too much.
Grilly. Well, I was kind of setting up, because Cam is the obvious one. I agree. He's the obvious one. I just, sometimes there's the hardheadedness in baseball where, they'll give it back to Houston, even though he doesn't deserve it. But then you could have the same thing where a guy like Grilly becomes successful with it, and they could be like, Osuna, he's young, he's 23 or whatever, let's put him back in the setup role. That was just trying to set you up to see if you thought any of that.
There is a thing of like, a dude shouldn't lose his job to injury either, though. I do get that. Like with Street, for example, if they told him you're the closer and then he gets hurt and then it's Bedrosian and he comes back and I say, I'm 100% now. Can I go close? And they're like, no. I can understand if he was livid about that, even though I think that Bedrosian is the better option. I would totally understand that. And same thing with Osuna. Like, he was their obvious lockdown closer. He gets hurt, comes back. I'm 100%. Now let me have my role back. And they're like, we got this 40-year-old who goes by the name of Grilled Cheese. How can we not keep him in the closer's role? And it's like, because his name is Grilled Cheese and he's a 40-year-old man. Relax and give me my job back. So I think those two injury guys will get their jobs back. I could have maybe seen Reed keeping it if it had been like a 30 to 50 game suspension. But yeah, with 15, plus, again, they have a lot of love for him, even for Familia, even in the midst of, you know, he had some struggles in the playoffs. They're going to support him. He's going to get that job back.
Yeah, Bogman, don't forget, Adoron Reed. He's always going to be Adoron Reed.
Such a fun. Did y'all make that up? Because that's so funny. I remember the first time I heard that.
That was a Welsh special, 100%. Got to give credit where credit's due.
So good.
Nicknames, Kyle Schwarber leading off, and Clayton Kershaw's success. All things the Welsh is doing this year.
Kershaw. Verlander.
All right, we had the questions. Paul has the answers. But now we are going to do some player debates with Paul, some player versus player rest of season action. I mean, there's a whole season ahead of us, so it should be interesting. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to In This League. Yes, you can find us at InThisLeague.com on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're joined by Paul Spohr of FanGraphs. We just did a whole bunch of stuff, and if you missed any of it, make sure to on-demand this show over at FantasySportsNetwork.com. But now, we've got some player debates. Gentlemen, no better way I could think to start the player debates than in a three-way. You can always have fun in a three-way.
It's okay if it's in a three-way, the Welsh. It's okay.
That's right. The player debates, how we do them. This is an odd one because this is right at the beginning of the season, and you could probably go look at ranks and just, you know, go with that. But let's see if some stuff might have changed or been adjusted. This first one, though, I think is interesting. One of the most difficult things people have a hard time with, especially when you talk about bigger leagues, AL or NL only, we got faced with this, is these rookies that don't necessarily have a timetable. There's guys like Bellinger and Moncada, and look at Bradley Zimmer, but there's a lot of pitchers that are right on the precipice of being inside the rotation and providing fantasy value because they're big names. So, Paul Spohr, we're going to start with you. This player debate for the rest of season value, you're going to pick up one. Let's not use NAs in here. Let's just use straight value. One of these rookie pitchers that is not on a major league roster that you want rest of season: Jose De Leon, Jose Berríos, or Lucas Giolito. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Berríos. This guy I've been talking about, where I really like that, despite the issues that he had last year in the majors, he didn't have a bad season in the minors. He was still getting it done down there. So it's just some major league struggles, whereas Giolito was a little bit more of a full-on washout. You know, he wasn't getting, I don't think he was getting killed in the minors, but he certainly wasn't at the level that we were expecting. So it was just a fallback year altogether. And I think both of them are still have sky-high potential. De Leon has always been just a little bit below them. But I'm going to go with Berríos here. I will say, though, and this is not an offense, that I'm fully in on Berríos, but do not completely quit Lucas Giolito, folks. He's been in the majors for 5 seconds, for crying out loud, 21 in the third innings, and he's 22 years old. You're absolutely insane if you're going to go from top pitching prospect in baseball to, I don't like Lucas Giolito anymore.
Yeah, and giving up completely, I agree with. Interesting note, all three of these pitchers all got their small stints. Berríos was the one that had a much higher stint. They thought he kind of had the fifth rotation spot locked up. Didn't happen. He probably is on track to be the most the one that's going to accumulate the most stats this season, because he's got the easiest track. But Bogman, what about you? Lucas Giolito, Jose De Leon, Berríos. Where would you go?
I like all these guys. I think they're really closely ranked for me. I would put them really, right on top of each other. But you got to look at opportunity for this season. And De Leon, you know, like Paul said, is probably third on this list. Plus, he has the least amount of opportunity. I mean, Berríos is competing with the likes of Kyle Gibson, Phil Hughes, and Alberto Mejia for a spot. You know, Lucas Giolito is competing with Derek Holland, the Dutch Oven, Miguel Gonzalez, Dylan Covey, you know, guys like that. So immediately it puts it to Berríos or Giolito for me. I think that Giolito is a guy that has come up and had some problems. They probably want to baby him a little bit. So it's going to be Berríos for me. So I feel like that's probably the only point that I can make that Paul didn't make. So Jose Berríos for me also.
This one is very, very tough for me because I think there's a lot of things that are in play here. Berríos is the one that has the best chance to accumulate the most stats, and he could have the highest run here. Though I would throw this out, and maybe I'm just trying to play strategy here. Berríos is a guy that could come up the soonest, but if he gets all of those innings pitched, maybe he's the one that's shut down first out of all these guys. So if you're looking at a playoff run as well, you kind of lose out on that. So Berríos, I'm with, and he is ironically the safe option here. I think Giolito could be up, but they could go Reynaldo Lopez as soon as a Jose Quintana trade happens. I think Giolito comes up. And when I look at Jose De Leon, who honestly might be the most ready to just get into a rotation spot out of all these guys, the only thing that's holding him back is, what, Matt Andrees? Is that his name?
Yeah.
That's all holding him back.
And Tampa's penchant for kind of slow roasting their prospects. That's another right. thing where you just never know what timetable they have guys on. Although, you know, there are some, you know, projection sites out there that have them contending this year. And so if they're a team that is going to be in the thick of it, they're going to want a guy. And he's another one like Berríos, who his minor league work was fantastic. You know, he struggled in 17 major league innings. That's a blip. That's nothing. It doesn't really matter, especially, you know, 23-year-old. He's still very young. Still had 16 starts in the minors where he was beasting. Now, the one thing I will say, you mentioned about Berríos maybe running out of innings. He did throw like 172 last year, so he shouldn't be dealing with too much of a limit, whereas De Leon, I think, only had, when you add it all up, about, let me see, I got
103. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, he could be capped at 17
in the majors and 86 in the minors for De Leon, unless they don't have something on Baseball Reference. But I got, because he got hurt a little bit, right? I think he was shut down for a little while.
I think
for
so.
Something. And then Giolito, I didn't pull his numbers up, but I think he pitched more of a full season. So if you're looking at the innings total thing, which is a great point, by the way, I would think that De Leon is still in last for that same reason.
And ironically here, I'm going to go off of the stuff that I think has the best chance to succeed. And there is one factor that jumps in here that I look at all three of these teams. And I think the Twins are going to be relative hot garbage. And Berríos has a walk issue. And I think, obviously, this is not a hot take, but the White Sox, guess what? Breaking news. They're not going to be great this year. And I don't know how much on the run support's going to be there. So I'm actually going to go De Leon. I want to roster any of these guys on my roster or anything like that, but I think with the Rays, you saw the team, the scrappy team that they are on opening day, and I think De Leon, the 24-year-old who's already been in the majors, and they've got, in my eyes, a kind of clear fifth spot open for this type of prospect. I think he could come in, and if the Rays always, maybe they go to a six-man rotation later in the year, they always like to monitor their pitchers, I think they would be smart with De Leon, and we could get some valuable innings out of him. So from pure stuff, I'm going to go De Leon, but damn, it's a crapshoot. And I don't blame you guys for taking Michael Strahan-faced Jose Berríos. Last one. This one popped up a whole lot on Sunday just because of pure performance of this one player. But I just find it interesting. And because someone had literally had a trade between these two guys. And then I saw another relatively close trade with these two players. So I would be curious of what you guys have to say about this. Kevin Kiermaier versus Carlos Beltran. 5x5. There's some obvious missing of what you have. We don't have the stolen bases with Beltran. But these players are relatively close, and Kiermaier is super, super sneaky stuff and things type of guy. So, Paul, what do you think? Kiermaier versus Beltran, rest of the season, who do you want?
boy, I really like both those guys, but I'm definitely going to take Kiermaier here. I really think there's some more potential to be tapped into with that bat, and you got a guy who is much younger, and that's just a situation where I think the volume could end up winning out. I love Carlos Beltran, man. He's a total stud when he plays, and you know, we saw what he can still do last year. The bat is not in question, but you know, we're talking late 30s at this point, and the thing of it is, once you hit about 35, it can just go all at once. There doesn't have to be a decline phase where you say, oh, you know, I gotta get forewarning. What, you're gonna be 40 years old, he could have an injury and boom, pretty much be done. And not necessarily done where he's not playing, but just done skills wise. Do I think it's gonna happen? No, because I think Carlos Beltran's a Hall of Famer, and Hall of Famers are on a different level than most. But you know, just to name a Hall of Famer who did fall off just out of nowhere, Roberto Alomar. You know, he was like 33 or 34 and he was just done as an effective player. So that's one example that doesn't make it a 100%, but we're talking about a 40-year-old. And so I am a little bit nervous. And so when it's close, I'm going to go with the younger guy who I think still has some potential in his bat, even if I'm foregoing the certainty of skill with Beltran.
What do you think, Boggs?
Well, when it's close like it is, I'm actually going to go on the opposite and take what I know plus the, you know, cleanup hitter for the Houston Astros this year. I mean, Carlos Beltran's in a great spot. He has a longer track record. I love Kiermaier, and I really think he's going to have a great season. I'm super excited about him, especially hitting number two. I love that. But I got to go with Beltran's actually hitting five, not four. But I got to take Beltran hitting in the middle of that awesome Astros lineup, and we've seen him do it before. He's got the long track record, so I'm definitely taking Beltran.
Yeah, this one got a lot. I mean, if you would have asked me preseason, it was just simply Beltran for me. It wasn't close, but I like the stuff and you know, as we call it affectionately, we've always called it in basketball. Not everybody in baseball quite knows what we mean, but stuff and things is a guy. It's a five-tool player. It's a guy that's going to get you stolen bases, homers. They're going to be decent on the average, runs and RBIs. It's a stuff and things guy, and Kevin Kiermaier is he's a low end stuff and things guy. My only problem with him is just the RBIs are always low. So I mean, it's almost a deficiency of our. He's just not his game. The runs are decent, but you know, if we look at last year, people want to extrapolate what he did last year and put it across an entire season where he had 12 homers, 21 dangerous. Stolen bases. It's very dangerous because the year before played 151 games, 10 he had less homers and less stolen bases than he did last year. This is the Gary Sanchez effect. So I don't believe Kiermaier is a 20 homer, 25 stolen base guy like some may assume, but he is a lot better than a lot of people are thinking. So with people getting hyped about Kevin Kiermaier, I understand it, and I understand wanting to acquire him, or I understand actually trying to move him to pay up. But I'm going to go with Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran doesn't have a deficiency in average. He really never does. There's these anomaly years. He had this anomaly in 2014 and 2010. Usually he's a 275 to anywhere from 275 to 300 hitter. He's going to be a stud RBI, stud run, stud homer, and damn good average, and he's DHing. A lot less likely to get hurt, and he's got a killer Houston lineup in front of him. So I think those numbers in front of him are going to be great, but I think the gap has closed, which is important, but I'll still take Beltran. Take the Beltran. Everyone loves Kiermaier, though. Swore loves Kiermaier.
It's,
those
you know,
eyes.
It's 79% owned to 28% owned in Yahoo. So a lot of people are sleeping on Kiermaier. I'm definitely not sleeping on him, but I just like Beltran a little bit more.
Well, Paul's sleeping with him with those dreamy eyes. Paul.
I was going to say that.
I know. I took it. That's what I do sometimes. Swore, we love you, brother. We'll have you back. We'll
love
take up
guys.
More of your valuable time. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Well, we love Paul. Appreciate him taking the time out for us. Don't go anywhere. It's only hour one of In This League. We got a whole nother hour where Bogman and I, we're going to be talking about some of our season predictions as far as World Series winner, divisional winner, Cy Young, MVPs, and we're going to play Fantasy Chicken. You can play along with us. Love to hear if you want to beat some of our predictions. But we're going to take, you know, like Giancarlo Stanton, and we'll open up at 30 homers, and then we'll just keep going numbers till somebody can't go anymore. And we've got them for every position. It's a fun game, so don't go anywhere. That is hour two of In This League coming up, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for coming back. I am Chris Welsh. If you didn't know, you can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, joined by my co-host Scott Bogman, who you can find on Twitter at Bogman Sports, and find everything we have going on over at InThisLeague.com. The six shows that we host, plus we host this, it's crazy. We got tons of content, so if you need to digest some fantasy content, InThisLeague.com can be your buffet. Trust me. It's fantasy chicken time. All right, so what we have done here is we have set up a few guys under each position, and like I said before, we're going to talk about maybe it'll be hits, homers, stolen bases, whatever set category is to a player. We're going to start with an opening bid, then we're going to play some chicken.
The chicken!
And we're going to see who wins and who is willing to be the most risky. I'm a risky guy, so it's very likely that this could be me here. So Bogman, let's start off. Play some fantasy baseball chicken with some catchers.
All right, the catchers, the Welsh. We got Kyle Schwarber and homers, and I set his opening bid at 15, the Welsh. So I will leave it to you. 15 is the opening bid. I'll start at 15.
Ain't no secret around here. The Kyle Schwarber and homers are quite fond of one another. I will go 20.
22.
26.
27.
30.
Done.
Oh, you're out?
So Kyle Schwarber.
You are
the Welsh
out.
At 30.
Okay, so we're going to mark these. So I go 30.
Yeah, I'm writing them down.
All right. I will take Kyle Schwarber at 30 home runs. Ooh, should I have, what if I would have said 29? Would you have gone 30?
No, I would have gone. I was stopping. So the next catcher, the Welsh, Gary Sanchez, homers, 20.
Do I get to start it or you? Are you starting the opening?
I'll just start them, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I'm starting low.
Yeah, you are starting.
This is how you.
I'm surprised you went less homers with Schwarber than Gary Sanchez, and Schwarber's going to play more as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, though.
Okay.
We'll see.
22.
24.
25.
27.
He's yours.
Okay.
Projection-wise, you would think Gary Sanchez is out here. So you would think like he's going to blow that out of the water, but I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, he hit so many last year, but everyone knows he can't keep that pace.
Yeah, I wanted to go 20. If I would have gone 28, would you have gone 29?
I think I would have gone up to 30 for Gary.
Disappointed!
All right.
Buster Posey's batting average, the Welsh, 280. I believe his career low is 284. His career high is 336. So I'll start at 280.
I will go 285.
290.
294.
295.
297.
300.
301.
303.
He's yours. I can't do it. Now, logically, 2015, he hit 318. 2014, he hit 311. Hit 294 in 2013. And last year, he hit 288. So if I would have gone 305, would you have been out?
Yeah, I would have been out.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I'm glad.
303.
I'm glad I got out here. I'm really glad I got out. All right. All right.
I think you're probably going to take that one.
All right. So those catchers, Bogman has had them listed. Should we do something? I feel like we should like put them on a page, but I don't want to do any work.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We can put them on a page or something.
All right, we'll put them on a page.
Put them on Patreon.
Yeah, so you guys can take a look at them. You can follow them along during the year. If anyone, hey, we got our Board Whore a parody account. If they want to keep track of some of this stuff,
yeah. And if the Board Whore ever wants to keep track of stuff, now would be the time. Board Whore,
send out tweets as reminders and stuff like that. And always love to hear from you guys. If you have one that you are adamant about, you can shoot us a tweet. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? First base, let's go.
Goldie, stolen bases, opening bid 15.
Okay. Let's see. He has stole 32, 21, 9, 15, 18. Two of the last 6 years, he has had under double digit stolen bases. Goldie.
No, Goldie stole 32 last year.
As I just said, yeah. Only two of the six he's had single digit.
Oh, only two of the six. I thought you said of the six last couple
years. No. He had a 15, an 18, a 21, and a 32.
Okay.
You set the marker at 15. 18.
22.
Oh. 24.
Mm.
Yep.
25.
He's yours.
24 is the number. 24 is the number for me.
Yeah, that 24 was a number for me too.
A lot of people are on Goldie now. Goldie in the past, not to say that he ever should have been. I mean, even before last year, he had still three of the five seasons stole more than double digit homers. As a first baseman, there's been a little bit less eyes on him, but he's also just a good base stealer. 25 is likely, but yeah, he is smart. But you know, maybe there's a little less base stealing with AJ Pollock back, Jake Lamb. You know, a little less on the production of the runs. I don't know. That's going to be a tough one. If that was like an over-under thing, we probably would have set the over-under at 24 and we would have pushed.
Right, exactly. Kendrys Morales, RBI. Now he is in Toronto. I set the opener at 75, the Welsh.
All right. Well, his last couple years, 93, 106. Let's skip 2014 and then 80, 73. What did you set the opening bid at?
75 in Toronto.
86.
90.
Oh, you were ready. 92.
95.
Oh, that beats last year.
Wasn't in Toronto last year, the Welsh.
Yeah, he's had a lot of it back. Oh, what did you just say? What do you have it at?
95.
96.
98.
He's yours. It's yours. They're going to keep winning these. I don't know. It's possible. I'm in the 90s, but...
Sack up the Welsh.
You know what my problem is? Not that he's ever proven to be unhealthy. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm playing that game of like, at some point, he's not going to play 150 games.
Like, if you keep winning them, it's good. It's actually good for you because you've only won Kyle Schwarber right now. But if these guys get hurt, obviously, Buster Posey is hitting 315 and he gets hurt, then, Goldie with 25, Morales at 98, and Sanchez at 27. I'm actually kind of surprised I've been winning these. But I think the next one is, we both love this guy, but Miguel Cabrera hits. I set the opening bid at 150 hits.
That's interesting in hits. I mean, he's had 188, 145, 191, 193, 20. Oh, my God. Here's a stat for you. What did you set it at, 150?
Yes.
Since 2003, only two seasons has he had less than 150 hits.
I understand that, but he is getting older. So I set this really low.
Yeah. No, okay. I like that. 165.
170.
173.
175.
178.
183.
Go away. God. 185.
186.
188. Get out of here. That is exactly what he had last year. 188 hits in 158 games with 595 plate appearances. Yeah, I'm looking here. Before 2015, he only had 145 hits. That was one of the two in his career that he had under 150. The only time he had less than 188 hits was 2010 before that.
All right. Joey Votto, 75 walks, opening bid.
What's his, let's see, he walked...
I think he had almost 98 last year.
108 and 143. What'd you set the walks at?
75.
85.
95.
99. Problems.
100.
And the walks aren't one. Oh, 100. 101.
103.
105.
Not gonna let you
go
take
away.
It.
Yeah, get out of here.
Go away, Baton.
Motto. Go away, walking.
105. The Welsh. Greg Bird homers. This is an interesting one.
Oh, this is a really good one.
Because he's been announced as the starting first baseman. He smashed, what, 7 in spring training?
Bird smash.
15 is what I set it at. I don't know if that's high. I don't know if that's low.
It's low.
It's just a number I picked. So Greg Bird, 15 homers, the Welsh.
20.
Oh, God. 21.
22. 23. Damn it. 24.
you win.
All right. I was Bird, out after that.
24, yeah. I was out at 20. So I just wanted to push it a little bit.
I was out. All right.
All right, second base, the Welsh. We're going to open up. This is your guy. I am assuming you're going to win this one, but we'll see. Okay. D. Gordon, stolen bases. We'll set the over under at 20.
20? 30.
Oh, my God. 33.
37.
Let's see. Stolen bases. He had 64, 58, and then a suspended year, he had 30. I'll go with 38.
40. 45. Oh, you were trying to play the game here. 48.
49.
This is stupid. 50.
52.
What? This is, I feel like this is poker, and you're just like, this is an auction. You're just bidding an extra dollar.
I'm trying to get you on tilt, that's
all. 52. I mean, he's twice. He's got to get 600 play. 53.
Done.
All right, yeah. Was that your auction? Was that a dollar more?
That was my, yeah, I'm pushing it.
All right. If I would have stuck you with it, you'd have been like, oh.
Jose Altuve, now Altuve. Go to one of mine.
Altuve.
Oh. That's how you say it in Spanish, Altuve.
Altuve.
Jose Altuve, 180 hits, the Welsh. That is the opening bid on hits for Jose Altuve.
199.
You just jump right there, do you?
Yep. He had three 200. Straight years of 200.
200.
202.
205.
He's had six or four straight years of 600-plus plate appearances. What are you at?
205.
208.
God. 209.
Damn it. I'm going to give it to you. 209.
209. 209. Altuve from me. Okay. The next one, the Welsh, is John Villar swipes stolen bases for VR.
What's the opening bid?
30.
38.
39.
40.
41.
43.
44. He sold 60 last
45.
Year.
45.
46.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. God, that's not a bad one.
I didn't want it. I didn't want it. I wanted you to say 47, and I was going to be done. Damn it.
You got stuck in the auction. Stop bidding me up.
I did. I got stuck with a player. Damn it. All right, swipe all those bases, VR.
All right, more Fantasy Chicken coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh for In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We are back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where Bogman and I, we are playing our version of Fantasy Chicken. Let's see who's going to win.
Third base, the Welsh, your dude, Chris Bryant. I'm going to open it. I'm going to open it up. Homers at 25.
35.
37 in a row.
In a row?
In a row?
39. What did he hit last year? He hit 39 last year.
God. You're not going to stick me with them. I'll say 40.
I am going to give it
to
41.
Not. Yeah, you win.
All right. You're
you weren't going to give it to me. Shut up.
You're doing that. Todd, I'd have probably gone to 50, by the way, so.
Oh, damn. Really?
Not really. 45, I probably would have still stuck around.
Todd Frazier, home run, stolen base combined.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Last year, he would have had 55 with 40 homers and 15 stolen bases. I open up the bidding at 40.
43.
46.
47.
Hmm. So that's what, 37 homers and 10 bombs, or 36, 11. 48.
Yours. Done. I was like, don't stick me with it. It's so yours. I don't know, man. I mean, 30 homers, and I'm in the 30 homer, like, 12 stolen base camp, and that's 42. So you take the 47 and go home.
That was at 47, I said?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
48, Moustakas. Maybe. That's a lot. I don't know. Oh, Moustakas. Okay.
Homers. 10.
How sad is that? 15.
16.
17.
18.
Single digit going up. I'll go 19.
You win.
All right.
Moose to the Welsh at 19. All right. We are moving to shortstops. This is a funny one. One stolen base for Manny Machado, because he had zero last year.
That's the over-under. Okay. That's
a bid.
Yeah, interestingly enough, only once in his professional career did he steal over double digits. Over six, by the way. Six was his high before the 20 in 2015. You were starting to... I'm going to go three.
I'll go five.
Six.
Seven.
That's yours. I'm out. Six was my number.
Machado, seven, Bogman. All right. Gene Segura hits. Dude had over 200 hits last year.
Pretty good.
But I'm going to open up the bidding conservatively at 150.
165.
170.
172.
175.
176.
180.
Yours. I'll give that one to you. It's a good one. He had never, by the way, had over 173 hits in any of his career seasons outside of last year with the Diamondbacks.
I feel like this one, you're going to win the Welsh. Javier Baez at bats. I set it at 300.
Last season, he had 421, so I will go 350.
360.
Be careful. I might stick you. 370.
He won't. 375. 385. 388. 390. I know you go to 400. I'll say
399. 400.
You win.
Okay. That was it. I was going to stick you if you went any higher. If you went like 405, I was going
to go to 400. So I knew it. I knew it. We're going to go to outfielders. We're going to do the same one we did with the Frazier, the combined homers and stolen bases. But this time it is for your boy, George Springer.
Combo number five. Okay, what's the starting bid? Homers, stolen bases.
Opening up at 35, that would be like, a 25-10.
Yeah.
It's got to have more than he had last year, I would assume.
Well, 35 is what he had. What did he have last year? He actually had 38.
36, I believe, right? 38.
Nine stolen bases, 29 home runs in 744 plate appearances, 644 at bats. I am going to go 37.
38. 40. 41.
43.
You win.
Okay. That's eight stolen bases and 35 homers.
Giancarlo Stanton bombs. I set it at 25. Who knows? So I'll open up at 25.
30.
33.
35. 36. I'm going to stick you with it. 36.
God damn it. Why are you sticking me?
Because your stupid face. Because you were trying to stick me. I know what you're trying to do. This is my first rodeo. I know what you're trying to do. 36. I played fantasy chicken before.
All right. Adam Eaton stolen bases. I set it at 20 to open.
Set it at 20? What did he... I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to just give it to you.
You're just going
to
give it to me at 20?
20 stolen bases. He's never had 20 stolen bases in his life.
I think he will for the Nationals, though.
Okay, I'm giving it to you.
All right, fine.
Hold on. Let me look. Well, let's just confirm here.
Easy win.
I mean, in the Diamondbacks minor league system he had, but his last 3 years, 15, 18, and 14. So I'm going to give it to you.
Lead off for the Nats.
Maybe.
Him and Trey Turner.
Well, like, no, he might hit six.
I think he'll get enough back end double steals to get 20.
They're talking about him hitting six, too, though.
Fine. He'll run at six, too.
I'm going to give you the opening bid.
Fine. Yasmani Tomas homers. I said it at 15. He had 31 last year. He does have the oblique thing, but he did play in spring training, so he'll be good for opening.
This is where, okay. I mean, he's got the power. I'll go 20.
22.
24.
25.
Yours.
Damn it.
I'm so good at this game.
Take one more. God. All right. We're going to move to starting pitching, and we're going to do a couple ERAs here, and obviously you're going to start high and move low. So we'll go with Chris Archer. I believe his ERA last year was some, what was it, 4.05, somewhere around there?
4.02.
Okay, I started at 4.2
for the opening. I'll go 4.
3.96.
3.89.
3.85.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. 3.75.
3.72.
No way. 3.70.
Done.
All right. That was about it.
Yeah, 3.70 was my end, so you'll take that one. David Price starts.
Oh, this is a good one.
Elbow injury. Obviously, we all know. We have no idea when he's going to come back. I set the bid at 10.
I'll go 15.
Full season is 32.
Yeah, I'll go 15.
You win.
Okay. You are out on David Price.
15. Yeah, it sucks because I have him in a keeper, too. Matt Harvey, quality starts the Welsh. 10 quality starts.
I'll go 12.
13.
14.
15.
Yours.
Oh, no. Really? Damn it.
Yours. I was nervous. You were going to get me upset. I don't know. I mean, I'm Matt Harvey. Quality starts.
You have him in four leagues or whatever. No, you're only going to have him 15 quality starts? The hell?
I got him in three.
That's supposed to be an easy win for me. Should have paid off there.
Should have paid me off on that. The f*** did you lay that down?
Paid that to me on.
He
can still be good without the quality starts, but I could foresee a lot of Matt Harvey this season, five innings, 5 2/3, still the strikeouts, you know, and just limit the innings a little bit. But he just might lie. I don't think and it's not a damnation of him being a good pitcher this year. I just don't know if he's going to rack up the quality starts.
All right. Yeah, a lot of 5 2/3 innings. Yeah. I can't believe I have him at 15. Jesus. The hell was I thinking? Taiwan Walker, ERA, 4.5 is what I opened it at.
He was a 4.2 last year, 4.56 in 2015 with the Mariners. I will go for, what did you start it at?
4.5.
I'll go 4.25.
4.20.
4.10.
You win.
Okay. I feel okay about that one. I mean, I don't feel great. I feel really good.
Aroldis Chapman strikeouts.
All right, what's the over under?
80.
85.
90.
93.
95.
97.
100.
Oh, he's yours.
100. For Bogman.
All right, there you go. Fantasy Chicken in the books, but we got a whole nother big segment coming up here where Bogman and I, we are going to be looking at divisional winners, World Series winners, Cy Young winners, MVPs. We're going to cover all of that. AL, NL Rookie of the Year. We're going to do all of our predictions for this season coming up in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman and the Welsh from In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Box, what do we got for later debate time?
We can pick the same ones on these, so we can be at the same level here. I put first catcher one, Evan Gattis versus Brian McCann, Yahoo rank end of the season.
Who has the higher Yahoo rank?
Who has the higher Yahoo rank, the Welsh?
They both play for the same team. They're both going to catch. They're both probably going to DH a little bit. McCann could play some first if they want. Gattis can play in the outfield. I am going to say.
That's why I pick him. Make you frustrated.
I'm going to say Gattis. It's not going to make you happy because you're going to go McCann.
I am.
Yeah.
I guess we knew that one. The next one I find very interesting. Corey Seager versus Kyle Seager, the Seager brothers, in RBI plus run plus homer combined. So no stolen bases, because Seager should win that, even though he didn't steal many last year. He should bump up a little bit this year. But Seager versus Seager, homer, RBI, run total.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to edge it to Kyle. And I'm so in on Corey Seager. I think Corey Seager takes the better end on the stolen bases with the average. That's why I'd have him higher. But Kyle Seager in that lineup is going to surpass Seager at Corey. Kyle's going to surpass Corey in RBIs. I think there's enough bats there that Kyle is competitive with Corey on runs. And Kyle's just a little bit more of a bopper. So I'm going to go Kyle.
I am too. I think at the end of the year, they're both going to, Kyle's going to go over in these stats. I just think that Corey Seager, as far as fantasy goes, has such a higher ceiling in batting average and swipes. So Corey is clearly the better player than Kyle, but I think Kyle's going to pass him in those things too.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
The next one, and it's kind of funny because I only have Tim Anderson in one league. I think you've been taking Simeon late, and Sorio talked about this, how he had the quietest 27 homers anyone's ever heard of.
I agree with that. Simeon Tim does Anderson. This. Simeon, by the way, 2 years straight, he has done this where he has like a two-month span where he's one of the best shortstops in baseball. And then he just falls off the planet Earth. He's done it twice in the last 2 years.
Then hit 198, right. Tim Anderson versus Marcus Simeon, homer and stolen base combined. Because Simeon should have the big edge in homers. We are hoping Tim Anderson has the big edge in stolen bases, but he only had, what, 10 last season?
Homers, 10 stolen bases for Anderson last year. But Simeon, I believe the combo was 37.
In a row?
37, 10 stolen bases, 27 homers. I'm going Marcus Simeon.
All right, I'm going to go with Tim Anderson. I think Tim Anderson is going to steal way more bases this season. So I am putting my eggs in the Tim Anderson basket. DVR mentioned this one. He said, these guys are the same player. This is the line. So I want to know for you, the Welsh. Starling Marte versus Trey Turner, Yahoo rank, end of the year.
Boy.
Or we could, I tell you what we could do instead is we could go, if you wanted to take one of them, we could go 5x5 on this. I'll take Marte over Turner in a 5x5.
I'll do that. I'll take Turner.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was going to lean Turner. It's tough, though. Turner might have the edge in the average. So, but I like that. 5x5, I'll take Turner. You take Marte.
Okay, Marte versus Turner, 5x5. Okay, Chris Davis versus Matt Kemp, Yahoo rank, the Welsh.
Ooh, I'm going to go Matt Kemp because of the average. That plays into it. Yahoo gets in on the average game, and Chris Davis is just, he's a 240 guy.
Oh, man. I think I want to agree with you, but I'm afraid of Kemp getting hurt. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to also take Kemp. Odubel Herrera versus Andrew Benintendi in Yahoo rank, the Welsh.
Oh. I'm going to go Benintendi. It's going to surprise.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Herrera.
I don't hate it. They're close. I think Benintendi with the average is going to put him over.
Ender Inciarte versus Kevin Kiermaier, stolen bases.
You're taking par 2.0. I am going to go, I'm going to go with NCRT too. I'm going to agree with you.
Okay. All right. Good. Look at us agreeing on some of these. Felix Hernandez versus Michael Fulmer in strikeouts.
What are you? Well, let's hear you first.
I think I'm going to go with Fulmer.
I am going to go.
Just expect more innings, younger guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go Felix. Because Felix, as long as he stays healthy, is going to pitch more innings.
Robbie Ray versus Michael Pineda in strikeouts.
Oh, boy. Let's go Robbie.
Yeah, I already wrote it down for you and me. Both Robbie Ray. A little surprised at that.
Homers.
But I think they're both 200 guys. They're both 200K guys.
Yeah.
I think both these dudes, I think, you know, Pineda gets snapped up a little bit more because there's more Yankee fans. But I feel like Robbie Ray, you can get a couple rounds later, and the same kind of dude.
Yeah.
Quality starts. Robert Gesellman, however you want to say it, versus Dylan Bundy, the Welsh. Quality starts.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one, man. Selman might not start the whole season.
Yeah, you know, but Dylan Bundy has never played a full season.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. I'll go Selman.
I'm going to go Bundy.
Okay.
And the last one, this one I find interesting because we know Zach Britton is a better closer than Craig Kimbrell.
Yes.
I mean, we agree with that, right?
Yeah, easy.
But who's going to have more saves? Because Red Sox are going to be really good. I think the Orioles should be pretty good, too.
It's up to Buck Showalter. It'll be Craig Kimbrell.
I'm going to take Kimbrell.
I'm going to take Kimbrell, too. What is wrong with us?
Damn.
What is wrong with both of us?
We didn't get a lot out of the player debates, Welsh, but here's what we got. So I'm taking McCann. You're taking Gattis as far as Yahoo rank at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We both took Seager. I took Tim Anderson over Semien in homers and stolen bases. I've got Marte. You've got Turner in 5x5. So homers, runs, RBI, stolen base, average. So somebody's going to win because that's an odd number. We both took Kemp, so scratch that. I took Herrera over Benintendi in Yahoo rank. We both had Ender. I had Fulmer. You had Felix in strikeouts. We both had Ray. I took Bundy over Selman in quality starts. And we both took Kimbrell.
I like it. I'd almost be willing, like, what were their last, what are Ender and Kiermaier's last year's stolen base numbers? Let me look at that. Ender had 16 in 522 at-bats, and Kiermaier had 21 in, I'll go Kiermaier. You know what?
You're
I'll switch
go Kiermaier?
Yeah, we can all do right. that as a, we'll do that as like a bet. I'll go Kiermaier over.
Another bet. All right. So we've got all kinds of bets here. What about the regular season, the Welsh? Let's talk about that because that goes by the wayside in fantasy. But it's something that we got to talk about because it's part of the reason we watch the game.
Yeah.
It's why I won't, you know, up until July, I won't let you call me during the Diamondback games because for some stupid reason, I still think they're going to be in it, even though they're clearly not.
No,
so I'm like, dude,
no,
listen to
not.
The game. Don't call me. I'm listening to the game.
Yeah.
You're like, dude. Let's just
talk about football.
I'm listening to the game.
Let's just talk about our football keeper and what we're going to do on the next pod.
All right. How about AL East? Who's the champ? I got the Red Sox.
I got the Sox, too. Baltimore. Baltimore is interesting.
Baltimore can challenge.
It's just their rotation. Like, is Gossman and Bundy, is that going to be enough? I think the Red Sox are so stacked. I still believe David Price can have some value. I think the Red Sox could still make a trade if they wanted to, even though they really depleted their system. If they really wanted to do something and get another high-end starter, they could trade Devers if they wanted to. They could.
Whose lineup do you like better? That all depends on what Pablo does. What lineup do you like better, the Red Sox or the Orioles? Because they're both really close.
I like the Red Sox.
Really,
Red Sox is more of a me team, even though there's tons of power. It's just so much swing and miss with Baltimore. Like, if the bombs aren't going, they're not winning. Because it's Trumbo and Davis and Machado and Scope, where the Red Sox are how do I want to say it? It's like the Orioles are the demolition, and the Red Sox are like, you know, they're like the Navy SEAL. Like, they're getting in. You know, they're going to get in every way they can. It's the insurgent team. That's what it is. It's like these guys are going to get in and get the job done quietly while the Orioles are just going to bomb everything in your face.
I like the Orioles, but my debate was more between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. I feel like there might be more question marks. It's funny, even though this is a weird thing. It's whoever's rotation winds up between between Boston and Toronto, I feel like that team is going to win because Price already has some stuff going on. You know, we had Doug mention about how after a ton of innings, Aaron Sanchez might slip because that's just kind of what trends tell us. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, whoever winds up with the better rotation is going to win. But you could say that about any team. So I'm not going out on a limb. But I'm going to take the Red Sox with you. The AL Central, I am going to take the reigning AL champs, the Indians, in the AL Central. Who you take?
I got to tell you, I wanted to take the Indians. And they make the most sense. But I just felt that I felt the need inside of me to deviate a little bit. There, I know baseball can lack parity sometimes, but I think it exists, and I think the Tigers are still. I think they're still a powerhouse team. I think they're a team to be feared when you get out there. I think Castellanos is going to take a jump. You still got Victor. You still got Miggy. You got Ian Kinsler, who's playing well. If Upton can finally adjust from the swings and you get J.D. Martinez healthy with a rotation of having, you know, Verlander in there and maybe they make a move or two. I don't know. I think the Tigers can do some damage. The safe and easy option is, say, the Indians, and I do not disagree with you, and I'm not going crazy here to try to say it, but I'm just going to
be a
parody.
Being a contrarian.
I'm not trying to be a contrarian, but I am going to parody a little bit here and say I think the Tigers could win the division, and it'll be like the last day of the season the Tigers and Indians are fighting for it.
I would love that. I love those last days. That one last day, you know, when the Rays won on the walk-off with Longoria is probably the best baseball day that we've ever had in our lives. The AL West, the Welsh. Well, I guess real quick, anyone else in the Central you think can contend? Are the Royals bumping around in there at all? Not the White Sox, right?
The White Sox definitely not. The Royals are just going to be like, it's going to be like old school Diamondbacks, you know? It's just going to be like they're going to miss it. They're going to be middle of the pack. Maybe they'll kind of be in it for a little bit. No. It's a boring team. I know what they could do. Duffy, Kennedy, they got an interesting rotation, but no. I think this is Indians, Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, I still like what they do, what the Royals do. You know, they get on base, they drive them in, and they have that really good bullpen and just an okay, rotation. But I don't think it's enough. I think the Indians front end is just too good, and they have a good bullpen too. And Minnesota's a joke. Yeah. The AL West, I'm going to take the Astros.
Me too. I'm big on the Astros this year. It's going to be hard for me, as you'll see. I'm definitely pretty in on the Astros this year. One of the things, and this could be a fault of what's going to happen for me this year, is I think the Astros are going to make a move. I really feel like they're going to make that Quintana move at some point, and it's going to set that rotation into one of the better, less talked about rotations. I think Keuchel could have a reboundish year. I think Lance McCullers, if he stays healthy, is going to be rocking it. They've got some other arms, and I think the Astros have the system. They can do what the Red Sox did, and they just haven't done it yet. And then think of this. They haven't done it yet, and look at that team. They brought in Beltran, leadership. They got McCann. They have got Correa, Altuve. I think the Astros are they're the team to beat this year that no one's really going to think about.
Yeah, they should dye their hair blonde, I think, is what they should do.
Yeah, they got Grandpa Beltran to help them do that.
That freaking beard looks so stupid. The wild card teams, I picked the Blue Jays, and I think the Rangers are going to be on the Astros all year. And I wouldn't be surprised to switch those two with the Rangers and the Astros between the wild card and the AL West. So Blue Jays for me and the Rangers.
I took, and you could easily replace the Indians with the Tigers of winning the division. I just went with the Tigers. Obviously, the Indians are going to win a wild card spot here. The other team, I think the Mariners. I think the Mariners are going to be a surprisingly good team this year. I really, truly do. If Felix returns, you got Paxton, the offense led by freaking Cano and Segura and Cruz. I like the Mariners to be sneaky this year.
And that was a tough one for me because I also like the Mariners this season. I just couldn't do it. I just think they got a gel. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do it in one season. There's a ton of trades, a lot of new faces in Seattle this year.
That's true.
What about the NL? In the NL East, I have the Nationals winning that division. I feel like we do this every year, and then it's always the Mets.
You know? No, I'm going to go with the Nats, too. The team is just, I don't know, I think they're going to make the moves. You still got Scherzer. A rebound by Bryce Harper just puts them overboard. Anthony Rendon had a great year last year, and then put Trey Turner on there. It's hard. It's hard to go against. I still feel like the Mets are kind of just a little disaster waiting to happen. But yeah, you're right. They always compete. But I'm going to go
the Mets too. Mets just always, like, every starter of theirs has something weird except for Noah. You know, it's
if
like
they were healthy, Matt it's the best rotation in baseball.
I agree. The Mets has a thing. The Grom has a thing. They all have some little nagging thing. So, I'm going to go with the Nationals, and, you know, we can roll our eyes when the Mets win it.
Yep.
The NL Central, you can't.
Dark Cubs.
Cannot take the Cubs,
Dark
right?
Cubs.
Dark yep. Cubs. Cardinals contend at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cardinals are always there. And no doubt, but it's the Cubs.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually kind of surprised that we both picked the same team in the NL West. Why don't you give me your reasoning why we're taking the Giants?
Yeah, go with the Giants. I mean, they're just like, how do I describe it? So, you know when the like NBA, like the Olympic NBA team, you know, they'll go out and they put together, what was it like many years ago? They just put all the stars together. Or you get the World Baseball Classic, perfect example up until this year. You put all these stars together and they just don't gel. And you're just like, how are all these like amazing? It's like almost like the Nationals. Like, how do these amazing players not work together? And then you get a team like, or you take March Madness, you get this team of role players that all fit the right role and they work together and they just manufacture wins. That's the Giants. The Giants are boring as they are so boring. The star power is so lacking outside of Madison Bumgarner, but they got Cueto, Bumgarner, Matt Moore. They've got if Pence returns to form, you still got Buster Posey. Like I said, there's nothing to be excited about in the lineup outside of Buster Posey, but they're just going to get it done. Eduardo Nunez getting moved over. And the division is not that great. I don't think the Dodgers are going to be that good. I think the Diamondbacks will be all right. The Padres will be trash. And I think the Rockies will be better than usual. But I think this is the Giants division.
Yeah, I do too. And really, it's the rotation. It's the Bumgarner, Cueto. I'm not a big Shark fan, but I like Matt Moore and whoever is five. You know, if it's Matt Cain, fine. If it's somebody else, it doesn't really matter to me. But Bumgarner, Cueto, and Moore in that rotation. You know, I like what the Dodgers have. But really what they have is a Jenga type lineup because Agon is he's getting older. I hope he doesn't miss games, but I think they've already talked about resting him. So, you know, what can you put him at max? 145, 150. You know, Corey Seager's coming into the year a little bit banged up. Jock Peterson's questionable. Yasiel Puig, who the hell knows you're going to get from him?
There's going to be drama. There's going to be drama with the Dodgers all year.
I don't know if there's drama, but look at this rotation. It's Clayton and a bunch of scrubs. Like, even if you like Urias, right?
They're going to be Maeda.
I don't like Maeda that much. I know a lot of people do. He just had such a horrible second half. I feel like he's going to get exposed this year. Rich Hill's always hurt. Ryu doesn't have a shoulder. Brandon McCarthy can't stay on the field.
Yeah, the Dodgers will be okay. It'll be Dodgers and Giants competing heavily. I think the Rockies are going to be right there as well. And maybe even the Diamondbacks. Maybe the NL West will be better than everyone thinks it is.
I think it'll be more competitive, but worse overall, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Because I don't really like the Giants lineup. But that rotation is just too good. The wild cards. I've got the Cardinals and the Mets to the surprise of zero people.
I've got the Cardinals, obviously, because and I didn't dismiss the Cardinals in the NL Central to be
Cardinal way
contrarian, or to be like douchey about it. But like, it's the Cubs, but the Cardinals might be the second best team in the NL. So that's just to put what that division is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Cardinals easy. I'm going to give you a surprise team in the wild card because
don't do it.
Just want to play around a little bit, man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a little bit of a surprise here, and I'm not going to say the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to say the Colorado Rockies. Is that bonkers?
Colorado Rockies.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they can get to the playoffs, but they aren't going anywhere, and they have to.
Well, I didn't say they're going anywhere else. Is they get to the wild card? I think their offense is going to just be a powerhouse, and John Gray moves up. Maybe they make a move for a starting pitcher. You just said the NL West overall is going to be down, and maybe
they can
take advantage of it.
John Gray is by far the best pitcher. Then Tyler Anderson is meh, and Tyler Chatwood sucks, and he's their three. Then they have Marquez and Shane Carl or Chad Bettis.
I don't disagree.
Chad Bettis has cancer.
I'm swinging for the fences, though, Bob. Put my finger out. I'm swinging for the fences.
The lineup, they might have the best lineup in baseball. Seriously. Whoever a catcher between Murphy and Walters, but Desmond LeMahieu, Story, Arenado, Dahl, Blackman, Cargo.
Black.
Is insane.
I know. It's crazy.
That is an insane lineup. I just don't. The pitching, I feel like the Diamondbacks pitching could be better.
Maybe. It might be the Diamondbacks. I'm just saying. Maybe the other thing to say is my other wild card is out of the NL West. I'm just going out on a limb saying the Rockies, but maybe it's the Dodgers. Maybe it's the Diamondbacks. I think the other one comes from the NL West.
I'm definitely taking the Mets and the Cardinals. I don't have, I want the Diamondbacks to go. I just don't see it happen. How about your AL champ, the Welsh? I am taking the Cleveland Indians to return.
Give me The Houston Astros.
The Houston Astros. I like where you're going, because if you remember last year, the Welsh, you picked the Cubs to win the World Series, and they freaking won the World Series.
I did. The Astros had the Cubs to win the World Series, and we never talked about that amazing call of mine.
Well, there's a reason, because we're at the end of the show and we can only talk about it for like 2 minutes here is why we bring it up now. But I, you know, you picked them to win. They had won 109 years and they won. So the Astros have never won. So I'm liking that they're in the World Series for you. I'm taking the Tribe. I just think that rotation is too good. They added E5 in the middle of that lineup. You know, they're just really good. And my NL champ, I'm going to take that front end rotation of the Giants, man. I think it's, for me, the Giants have to get to the playoffs. But once they're in that rotation with Bumgarner and Cueto at the front, I mean, the Cubs are obviously the team to beat. But I think Bumgarner and Cueto might be just too tough.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I like it.
I don't want it to happen. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, so. I don't hate it. But I'm going to go with the Cubs. Arrieta, Lester, Hendricks. It's a pretty damn good top three in the playoffs. Plus that insane lineup, the versatility they have with guys like Zobrist and Baez and Schwarber's back. It's going to be really, really hard to not say the Cubs are going to repeat. So I'm going to put the Cubs back in the World Series.
I've got the Indians winning the World Series. So go Tribe, go. Let's see it happen.
I have got the Houston Astros winning.
I hope
the World
Series. Right back to back years. I would love it.
Boom.
I'd love it if the Astros won. How about some of these awards, the Welsh? AL Rookie of the Year, I've got Andrew Benintendi.
Yep, Benintendi. That's easy. By virtue of just like pure stat accumulation, there's not many other options out. Benintendi's going to play the whole year. So, I mean, obviously, if Moncada came up, in the first 2 weeks or something like that, I wanted to say him, actually. He's the type of guy that could compete, but the White Sox will be so bad that he probably won't even be able to. And Benintendi, even if the numbers across the board are a little down, he'll be helping his team get into the playoffs. So it's easy, Benintendi.
NL Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with Dansby Swanson. We traded him away. Maybe I can at least get some joy of watching him and picking him right to win Rookie of the Year.
I got Dansby in two leagues, by the way, but he is obvious. And the same thing that we just said with Benintendi qualifies. But
you hipster.
I'm going to say Cody Bellinger. Because I think Cody comes up sooner rather than later. He's going to help, I just said how one of these NL West teams might get the wild card. Maybe it is the Dodgers. He will help compete. He will put up numbers, and he'll play all over the field. And Dansby Swanson is just not a stat accumulation guy. It could easily be him, but give me Cody.
Yeah, I just think Dansby could win a Gold Glove, and if he does that as a rookie, he'll win it. And I just don't know when Bellinger's coming up. I hope he comes up early.
Also true.
That's the thing. AL Cy Young, I'm going to go with Corey Kluber. I got the Tribe winning the whole thing. I got to have him getting an award. So.
I think that's actually a great, great pick. I am going to go on the other end, getting his team to the playoffs, the guy that should have won it last year, Justin Verlander. And the only person that'll be effing Justin Verlander this time will be Kate Upton.
How many Verlander shares do you have, by the way? I'm really surprised by this.
I think I only have two.
You have them too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got them both in keepers. And
you took
him
in zero mocks, and you always scoffed whenever I took him too high.
Well, because he went so high. Dude, last year.
Pick him to win the Cy Young.
Yeah. I'm about value, Bogman. I'm about value. Give me value. Here's the deal. I was fine with him at 40. I just don't want to take him. You took him at like 30 in our last mock. I don't want to take him at 30.
I had to get him.
Give me a little bit of value, but I'm going to go with Verlander.
NL Cy Young. I'm going to take Bumgarner. I got the Giants going to the World Series.
Yeah,
so.
I'll go Bum too. We both just were like, yeah, we're going to go Bum. Easily could be Kershaw, and he could run away with it.
Yes.
But yeah, let's go Bum.
Yeah, AL MVP. I've got a non-playoff team winning the AL MVP, but it's Mike Trout. He just puts up cartoon numbers every single year. So
yeah,
I'm going to go with Trout.
I totally agree with that, but I am going to go with a person that puts up cartoonish numbers, especially for his stature. He's also going to get his team to the World Series and win it. By my predictions, I'm going to go Jose Altuve. He's going to be the AL MVP.
Yeah, if I debated between going with Trout and E5. So, but I'm going to go with Trout. He just gets all the stolen bases too. And they're a horrible team, the Angels, but he still just puts up those ridiculous numbers. Yep. I can't imagine if you put him in the middle of like the Indians lineup or the Astros lineup or something. Crazy. It'd be stupid. NL MVP, I'm going to go Homer. I'm going to go Homer all the way. Paul Goldschmidt finally gets it.
I like it. The Diamondbacks make the World Series and he puts up bigger numbers than he did last year, which is possible. I like it. But I am going to go with Bay. I'm going to go with the guy that I called being the MVP last year. Chris Bryant. Boom.
Yeah, that's the surprise of no one.
How you like me now, Fish?
That's the show. You can tweet us at Bogman Sports, at Is It the Welsh. Tell us where we're crazy.
You're crazy. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you, but you're crazy.
Why we're dumb in these predictions.
Yeah, I want to hear. Is It the Welsh, Bogman Sports? Anything you agree with, don't agree with, anything you want to get crazy with, we'll tally them up. Follow the Board Whore on Twitter, and we will try to monitor that. Maybe they could tweet out some stuff. We can hear your stuff. There you go. That is the show. It's In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. Find us on Twitter at Is It the Welsh, at Bogman Sports. Want to thank Paul Spohr, who joined us in hour one. If you missed a minute of the action, you can go find this show that you just heard, or you just missed, I should say. You can find it on demand at fantasysportsnetwork.com. Or if you want to check out the podcast version, where there is actually more content from Spohr and our prediction shows, you can find more of that content on our podcast. Just search ITL Fantasy Baseball or check out InThisLeague.com. For Bogman, for the Welsh, we'll see you next week. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bye-bye.